Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hello, welcome back to Spirituality What? This is Rebecca. It is Wednesday. We are dropping a new episode. Just like all the other episodes, I'm really excited about our guest today. Her name is Andrea. And guess where Andrea and I met? Drumroll. Meetup. That is correct, everybody. We met on Meetup. At my age, I feel like Meetup is a really great place to meet a lot of really cool, new, exciting people and a lot of spiritual people, actually. So I met Andrea through an ET group, I think like about 4 years ago. And I vividly remember being in this discussion room and just being drawn to everything that she was saying. She was really interesting. She's really outspoken. She's extroverted. She's really bubbly and live. And we just pretty much clicked after that. I actually reached out to the organizer and I said, hey, there was this woman and I was wondering if I could get her contact information. And then we just kind of hit it off and became friends. So Andrea, also known as Andrea Dawn Driver, has always possessed a passion for storytelling and spreading messages of hope. Initially known for her captivating presence as a psychic medium and entertaining communicator, she never anticipated that she would extend her gifts to the realm of written word. But today, she stands as a celebrated best-selling author, touching the lives of countless readers. She embarked on a very deeply personal quest for authenticity in 2012, and this led to a profound spiritual awakening. And today, she serves as a conduit for divine guidance, channeling messages of healing and empowerment for the betterment of all. And so today, Andrea, who is a psychic medium, she doesn't like to call it that necessarily, which you'll hear more about in the episode. But today we are going to explore spirituality from the medium perspective. And we're going to talk about Andrea's spiritual journey from the tender age of 5 years old, including the role of organized religion in her life, which is kind of interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about fear versus love and the practice of getting to love and a very unique perspective that Andrea has on forgiveness. So let's get to it. Welcome back to Spirituality What? Hello, everybody. Today, I am thrilled to bring my good friend, Andrea, onto the Spirituality What podcast to talk about kind of just exploring spirituality, all things spirituality related, maybe get into some of the mediumship aspects of Andrea's life. And so, Andrea, if you want to introduce yourself.
I'm Andrea Dawn, and I am a constant learner in the life beyond the life within the life happening now, all things spiritually outside of what this body is experiencing. Yes. And it's been an amazing journey to get me to where I am today for sure. By definition, you could say psychic medium. And I tend to tell people I'm a channeler. So I channel energy. So yeah, that's where I go.
And Andrea and I are really good friends. I love Andrea. She knows so much cool stuff. She sees so much cool stuff. I am excited about this conversation today. So I will start where I start with all my interviewees on this podcast, which is, what does spirituality mean to you?
So you kind of got me thinking, because I had already had a notion in my mind that the word spirituality is overrated, overused, and really underappreciated. And it's interesting, of course, right? Your title, Spirituality, What? And so this is what I came up with after literally looking it up, the etymology of the words and breaking it up.
I love that.
Because I thought, really, how do we define it? You know, but then how was it defined before? And I literally came up with how breaking up spirit, you all, you know, ITY, right? So the itty part was the spirit in you equals unity. So it's an all in one. So the spirit in you is all in one, which is unity. And so when you take the spirit, which is, you know, it defined by Latin, ghost, soul, breath, right? So we have scripture that talks about God breathed over the oceans. Well, then would that be the Holy Spirit that they want to call it? So I separate the soul from the spirit in my teachings or my talkings or my sessions. So I'm like, that I wouldn't say that the soul and the spirit are the same. I would say the spirit really is our trinity of our life, right? Mind, body, soul. And we're trying to always connect the three of them, the all-in-one part of us, and then bringing it, because once we do that, then we're one with everybody else. It brings in complete unity for humanity. So it's like all these words started playing on themselves for me last night. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And so my definition truly of spirituality is that once we get into ourselves, who we truly authentically are becomes one with everyone else. We are all in one. We are in unity. We are humanity. So that's my new definition, but I gotta make sure I kind of clean it up a little bit more than that.
Yeah, totally.
Try to come down to a one sentence explanation on that, but I was just,
It's fun. I did a similar thing when I was investigating what spirituality meant to me in the very first episode of this podcast, which was I looked up a bunch of definitions because I was like, what does it mean like to the collective first? And then how do I distill down from that what I agree with and what I don't agree with and what it means to me? So I can align with that approach for sure. Yeah. And the episode was 15 minutes. So I definitely didn't at the end. I think I had like figured out a way to get it down to a more consistent.
Right. I do remember listening to you going, I think you actually started it. Cause I started thinking, what does that mean to me? You know, because of what you were talking about. And a lot of it hit for me too. So I broke it all up for me. And then it was just like, oh, this is clear. The spirit in you is all, and now we're in unity. And I went, that makes sense.
I really like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. So let's start this discussion with a little bit of background. Like what has your spiritual journey been this time?
So this just came up in another interview that I did, and I blurted it out and I realized, well, it's out there. So I'm really going to talk about it now.
Let's do
it. All right.
So,
what I realized was my spirituality and my human, you know, experience really, at 5 years old was the most, you know, that was the start of all of it, and experiencing extreme trauma and having, you know, a knife held to your throat because someone's threatening to kill you if you look at them that way again. And at the same time, I'm being taken on ships. I can't say every night, but it was pretty consistent because I was having, quote unquote, the same dream, which, you know, people are like, you can't have the same dream. Oh, never mind. It's a memory. So that's why it's not a dream. And so I clearly knew I was being taken, and how they would come for me and they would find me. And I was never afraid. It's just that I knew that at the same time, having these human horrific experiences of abuses and then having this experience of complete love, even though at the time they would poke me and do things that were not comfortable for a 5, 6, 7 year old, I was okay with it. I was never afraid. And not until way later did I understand, because it felt like, you know, it's like pinpricks all over the body. And I would get them later on in life, but not until 2016 did I actually say, what are the pinpricks? And they said, oh, we're taking DNA. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And then I didn't even question it anymore, right? So then I went back and I went, oh my gosh, you've been doing this since I was 5? And so at 5, they were extracting, but they were also putting in. They were giving me help so that I could endure and survive what was happening in my life. And so that really was the start of it. But I also had this experience of not allowing myself to freely talk about it. So it appeared to everyone in my life that I was not having any of these woo-woo experiences. Now, okay, you're a kid, and if it's dysfunctional, you tend to be quiet anyway because you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, I could read a room in 5 seconds. Can I run? Will I skate? Will I get beat? Will I get yelled at? Well, you know, so you pick up real quick on how can I survive the situation that I wasn't ready for. And so until 2012, when I then had an overload of a bunch more memories come back. Now, you know, that's me being an adult, so can handle a lot more of that stuff that I had chose to compartmentalize and put it in that little back section over here and say, we're not going to talk about you right now. Yeah. Right. And then That is what really opened me up. That was in August of 2012. And then in 2013, I was in a class and, you know, I was talking to spirits when I was 5. I saw my grandfather when I was 5 and he had already passed, you know, 8 years before that. And so, it was definitely for me just normal to talk to him, but I would not tell anyone. Here's 2013, and the voices came back like a light switch, and then that started a whole different new experience for me. So that's totally. yeah, whole new way of life.
Yeah. So how has or has religion, organized religion or religious texts or anything more related to religion played any role in your spiritual journey?
So when I was 20, I eloped with my ex-husband in Las Vegas and was pregnant by 21 and realized, oh shit, I'm going to have a child. What do I do? So I went and got saved and, you know, started that journey in the churches. Now, for the most part, all the way through, I was non-denominational churches. And so that, you know, that means something to those in that, that realm, the religious realm.
Sure.
And so I would go and attend. And for the most part, because I knew this was going to be a tough marriage, and something needed saving, I chose religion to look for some answers, some help, some guidance. And I did have some amazing things happen. It just wasn't a good fit. And I was, you know, basically kicked out, asked to leave, because I was questioning and really sincerely was questioning things. And God was showing me other things, right? God, source, whatever you want to call it. There is something, there is a creator. It's just a different way of how I was seeing things. And so I started, you know, questioning that. I don't know how I would have been, had it not been for the church when I had my third child, and the help that they provided for me was just amazing. So, because my ex was long haul truck driving, so he wasn't there. So religion played a huge role. And it's interesting because, you're asking that because I quote scripture. So people are like,
I mean, you know that kind of stuff. So sometimes I'm like, I don't know.
Right. You know, I do it without even thinking. That's what cracks me up. I crack myself up because I'm like, oh yeah, look at that. Scripture does mean that, you know, so I'll remember because I'm quoting something that just comes out. And so it's amazing how I have such a different understanding of reading that Bible and all those concordances and the dictionaries. And, you know, sometimes in my personal Bible study, I'd have 6 different books out, you know, the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew, you know, all of this stuff. Because I'm like, I want to know the etymology of these words. I want to know the definition. I want to, who came up with this? Is this Hebrew? Is this Latin? Because it does mean something. You can't just read it for the literal way that it's written. And it's not,
No. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I would say everything that I've heard, it's like, you definitely can't read it for exactly the literal way that it's written, especially when it's been translated XYZ number of times away from where it started.
Well, and now you can't, you can if you're in that organization, because you have to. But from, you know, now what I've learned, you look at Sumerian text and all these other pictographs and hieroglyphics and things that they're finding, and it's telling these same stories over and over, and all these different countries over and over. So it's kind of like, and this was what, pre-Noah? Sorry. So whose story is this? Or, you know, Jesus and the 12 disciples. And I channeled Jesus, right? So, and he comes a certain way to me. Doesn't mean he comes that way to other channelers. And so I'm like, okay, you had 12 disciples. Well, so did, you know, Buddha. You know, I went to India and I went to the park where he did his first sermon and he had 12 disciples. And I'm going, okay, see, this is repetitive. There's something about the numbers. There's something really, and we forget Jesus. So 13 is an amazing number, but you know, you're being told it's not. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, 13 is amazing. So you learn these things even. So it played a really big role.
Speaking of 13, I feel like I recently heard that Taylor Swift's favorite number is 13.
Yeah.
Or somebody really famous like that.
Yeah, it was her.
Their favorite. A lot of synchronicities come to her at the number 13. I'm like, I don't know. I have nothing against 13.
Yeah. Anything that they want us to be afraid of, I'm like, why? Like, what? What? It's a number. Why? You know. So I'm always questioning what the reason. You know. Oh, do you want to use it for bad? Totally. Okay, you use it for bad. I'm going to use it for good. You know, I'm going to change the vibration of it, and it's going to be amazing for me. So once I get into that little fear thing about, you know, some of my past that I remember certain things about, and I go, nope, I'm going to change it. I am going to go full blast into, you know, 13, because I don't care, you know, it's whatever the number of Satan or whatever people want to call it. I'm like, no, it's God, it's creator.
So I want to dig into that a little bit. On, I think it was the podcast with Khan, that about yoga, she talked about changing your prescription, changing your perspective. And I get that same vibe when you say like changing the vibration. So what does that mean exactly? And what does that look like?
So simply put, it's fear versus love. It is saying that 13, well, they don't even have it still in some buildings today, right? And I think, why do you want us to be afraid of it? Because to me, then changing the prescription is, it's got to be something good. And so I'm going to learn about it so I can love it. That changes the vibration. So anything that we kind of have a fear about, even going into snakes or spiders, right? Some people are terrified. They scream, they run away from, you know, a spider that is, you know, centimeters big. And they can, and so what is that? What is the fear? And then once you can change that and learn to love it, the fear goes away and you change the vibration. I mean, I the story of me talking to that one spider, you know, I've talked to other, you know, animals, of course, people are like, oh, talk to dogs, horses, cats. And then I go, oh yeah, I had a conversation. Well, I actually lived with this spider that would talk to me every day. And
I think I remember that story.
He told me his name was Toby and I didn't get it because I didn't have boys. And I'm like, okay, fine, your name is Toby. And he's like, no, Toby. I'm like, okay, Toby. He's like, no, Toby. And I'm all, okay, wait, what are you saying? Is there something I should know about? And I go to the internet and I'm all Spider-Man Toby. I go, oh, Toby was the actor's name. Ha, that's so funny. The joke's on me. Yes, it was.
You get to learn something new.
Right. But, you know, when I first saw him, because he was huge, my 5 nights, I didn't sleep because all I could think of, it's a female and it's pregnant and all these little spiders are just going to come down and land on me. And I'm going to wake up to all these webs and I'm going to be surrounded in, you know, what is the fly, the movie, that old one, right? That of course I watched, you know, and I just have these flashbacks and I just got up and I said, I'm done. You know, okay, why are you here? And then I get the message. And so we ended up living together for quite a while, like 2-3 months, I think it was. So, and I don't even know. I kept saying, I don't know what you're eating. Like there, you're in a spot where there's no food, so I don't know what you're living on. it was an interesting exchange. However, that the easiest way to say, or the challenge really, change it from fear and go to love, and that will change the vibration. Doesn't happen in one full swoop. I just said I didn't sleep for five nights, but once I said I'm done, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not. So what is it? I'm just. It was, you know, it's the sheer size. Like he was huge. He was a decent, you know, spider. It was like almost tarantula size. So, you know,
that's pretty large. Like a tarantula is like the size of your hand. Right. So that's big.
I didn't even think they grew that big. But of course, the one that wants to talk to me is going to be that size. So it was a good challenge for me to go, oh my gosh, you know. And then it was interesting because they showed me when I was seven, one of the worst years of my life was like seven. The abuse was just ongoing. The child sex trafficking was happening, being subjected to porn. That was six, seven. And all of that was like a 2 year period of my life. And when I was at my mom's house, there was a dad spider, a mom spider, and a baby spider. And I literally would hold them in my hand. They never like took off running. I would put them on my knee. I would have conversations with them. So that spider helped me to remember that spiders actually helped me a lot in my life. And so I don't want to walk up onto a snake. And yet I have, and I've just not been afraid of them anymore. It's like, it's just gone. You know, they fascinate me now more than anything, just watching them, be themselves, you know?
I think for me, it's like, the unexpected, it's maybe not that I'm afraid, but I just get like surprised. So it's like, you know, you're out for a hike and like, yeah, you're in nature in Arizona, for example, and like a snake crosses your path and you're like, ooh, you know, and you kind of jump and scream a little bit, but it's not like, because I do that at the house too, like a spider falls out of somewhere onto me and I'm like, ah, you know, because it's like, I'm not expecting it to happen, but I'm not like inherently afraid once I like get everything oriented, you know, with the spiders and stuff. So when you talk about going from fear to love, you specifically stated that you're making like a conscious choice to choose not to be afraid or to choose like, to get past that fear.
Yes.
Maybe because I think you sometimes kind of have to like experience that. So in the case, I think phobias or at least fears, maybe not phobias, a little bit more clinical, but fears of like spiders and snakes and things is a little bit, your rats, you know, stuff like in your house. What, after you make that choice, what do those changes look like? Does it just, you feel like it just gets easier, or are you constantly making this choice of like, okay, there's another instance, there's another spider, there's that spider again. Okay, I'm not like, I am comfortable, I am powerful, I am, you know, we want to be careful with our words. We don't want to say I'm not afraid, right? The universe doesn't hear the not. So like, you have to be very careful. But like, is that like a continuing work? Or it's like just a switch?
It's both. So it depends on how deeply rooted the fear is. So, you know, yes, they'll catch you off guard. I mean, shoot, spirit will show up. Like I open the door and one will be standing there and I'm like, I'm like, stop it. Don't do that to me. Like I'm not even fully awake. Like don't just show up, you know? So that part, and it makes me laugh because I'm like, gosh, you know, you just, that should be rules up there that you just can't show up, you know?
But, on the other side of the door.
Especially that.
Or opening the window or something.
Right. Every person's nightmare is like you're gonna open the shades and be like you're gonna see something, and so it, you know, for me the spider incident was you know, it's funny because I was moving and this is what caught me the most was the box came and he actually left that place, went on a box and came over on the box. He even showed me. And then he's crawling on the floor. And I turned and I go, oh, hey, beautiful. And my own response to myself was, oh my God, you just called a spider beautiful? Like, are you, like, that is the ultimate change for me right there. And I had nothing about him. And I saw him go under this like hutch and I went, all right, is that going to be your new home? You know, okay. I know you're there. Thanks for letting me know so I don't vacuum you up one, you know, day. And so I noticed that I just had a totally different feeling. But then there's still some that we struggle with that keep us, they're just deeper rooted. So we are constantly having to remind ourselves, not I am not afraid, or to say, thank you. That's my biggest one. I get that hopa, no, whatever prayer thing, because once you can come to appreciate and thank and change that quote unquote vibration of what that was, instead of even to me, this is me now. I'm not going to talk about this with anybody else. I don't want to debate, but I feel that forgiveness tends to be a victim survivor kind of vibration and doesn't get you out into thriving. And
this
so
is awesome. Let's talk about this. We have talked about this in the past before.
Yeah.
And I think that Andrea's position on this is really fairly unique and really powerful. Like it's really strong. And I would say that I don't know how I felt before. I'm not really sure, but I've converted to Andrea's perspective on this too. So go right
yeah,
ahead.
Well, and that's that. Real quick, 2016, I think it was 2016, 2017, and doing a workshop. We're in the middle of a meditation, and I was the one that was always holding the space to make sure everybody stayed and didn't go out too far or fall asleep, right? I would wake them up because that's so, and it's common, right? So we had this big group and I'm just holding the space and I could see where everybody goes, which is always so cool to me. It's like, oh, you're going to that waterfall? That's kind of cool. So yeah, it's really cool. So I'm doing my thing and all of a sudden it's like a bullhorn and they're like, Andrea, forgiveness is a farce. And I was like, what? What the hell? What are you even saying to me? Like, oh my God, I'm the queen of forgiveness. I've written all the letters. I can't even talk to you right now. I'm in the middle of a meditation. I'm like, but this is not over. At the break, we're going to talk. Go in a room, shut the door. And I'm like, I'm not leaving the room until you explain to me why. And they said, if you truly believe that everything happens for a reason and that reason is here to support you, then you should be thanking every person that you had an experience with. And that was the game changer. I even said to him, I go, I know what you're saying. And you got to give me at least 3 days on this. It didn't even take 3 days because I truly knew that was the only way that was going to get me out of still having that victim survivor mentality. And so I did. I started it. Don't remember everybody's name, of course, but I could some of the pictures or some of the videos that I had stored. I would just start saying, thank you. You played the role to get me to where I am today. Thank you. You played a role to get me to where I am today. And I am very thankful where I am today. So I had to start saying thank you to them. And now, Rebecca, there is no attachment to this at all. Like, and if it does come up and if there's a tear or something, I go, oh, this is something new. This is one I got to let go. This is one, you know, I'm going to puke it up and I'm not going to be the dog and eat it back. I'm going to get rid of this and I'm not going to take it back. So thank you. Yeah. Let me cry. Let me be upset and I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to really be in that thank you because this is where I am today. I'm having an amazing fucking life, man.
Yeah. Yes, you are. I started reading, I don't know if Dolores Cannon's book. I can't remember what the name is or if she has multiple books. It's like Life After Death or something like that. And they kind of talk about the plan, like the sign up. And we've talked about this before too, like how you sign up for certain experiences. I wouldn't say like an exact life plan, but certain experiences and you make kind of contracts with other people, other souls, other spirits. And in making sure that you can have said experiences and figure kind of those things out. And this plays really into that. It is very, very interesting. Like forgiveness is about you did something to me. And it seems more like from all the research that I've done that like we do these things together, even if it doesn't feel like that.
I know. Yeah.
In our physiological bodies, it doesn't feel like we're having like she talks about this person who who died of a car accident. And it's like, we call them car accidents because I guess they like, they are, but like in life, it's not really an accident if somebody like passes in a car accident, yeah. because it's like, it's sad. It might be sad. It might seem abrupt, you know, for some people, but there was lessons that they had to learn that they maybe already learned, or maybe the car accident was a lesson they had to learn. Like, you know, it's really mm-hmm. hard to pick it out, but it is a very interesting concept. And when you talk about forgiveness, it's because you were wronged.
Yes.
It's like, that doesn't apply really.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. It is, you did something to me. That is where we stay in that victim survivor energy. And that's what I know we're here to come out of. And, you know, I do know I contracted with it because I had a meditation in 2018, and I'm always the one that goes off. Like, you know, they're talking, they're doing their thing, and all of a sudden I'm over here, you know, and it's like, Andrea, mm-hmm. can you open your eyes? We're done. I'm like, oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. So I was over on, I was on Mars. Sorry. Yeah, you know, it's like, just doing my thing. In that part of that meditation, my grandfather showed up and he had this circle, and I was looking, it was a cloud circle. And so, and I remember even looking like, oh, cool, we're on a cloud, you know, because I'm having a meditation but I'm there and we're looking through and I see this line. It's a lifeline and it's going on and on and on. And he goes, now you're going to, this will be what you're going to go through. And I'm like, are you kidding? I'm going to go through that, like all that whole thing. And this is going to be like, really? Oh, I got to go through that. And he goes, yes, but do you see that light way down? Do you see that bright light way down there? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, when you get there, if you can get there, you will know why. And I'm not kidding you. I felt like I knew exactly. I knew exactly at that point. And it was in 2013. So even though I was having all these galactic experiences and all these traumatic experiences, I was going in the right direction. And I was going to get there. And I knew that there was an innate knowing growing up that, you know, and I was a risk taker because I wasn't afraid to die. And so it was kind of like, you're okay. Everything's always going to be okay. Even though this sucks, I don't like this. This doesn't feel good. You know, I even to this day, that's my human experiences. Wow. All right. So this is my experience. Yeah. So I don't really care for this one. Okay. We got to go through it. I know it's for my good, but
yeah, let's just learn whatever it is we got to do and get on to the next thing. Right?
All right, everybody. So that wraps us up for part one of this episode and the spiritual journey with Andrea. Join us next Wednesday for the closing part two. It's going to be really fun. Please tell all your friends about this podcast. We'd love to get some more followers. We have some goals now related to interviewees who require certain numbers of followers and listeners in order to get them on your show. So please tell all your friends and subscribe and follow and definitely interact with the podcast polls and the Q&A on Spotify. We've tried to put questions in there that would help drive sort of the direction of the podcast, and would love to hear what you would like to hear more about. See you all next week. Thank you for joining me on today's spirituality what adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact. Tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.